The Jews of Jesus' day were enslaved by the Roman Empire, eager for anyone to deliver them from Caesar's yoke. That's why some saw in Jesus the deliverer that had been foretold. They wanted a leader to overthrow Rome's tyranny. But Jesus had a larger deliverance to make, a deliverance from the power of sin. Today, we'll see Jesus from God's vantage point. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his Christmas series on Christ before Bethlehem. In this final message, we're learning about Christ the Deliverer. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61 as we hear Jesus read a prophecy about himself as Messiah.
So Jesus goes to his people, the chosen people, the one who had all the promises, the ones whom God had especially blessed and given marvelous privileges to, and he goes to be among them, and he enters into the synagogue, and that's where the drama opens. Now, as Jesus went into the synagogue, the synagogue service went something like this. First of all, it opened with the Shema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's the way the service opened. Following that, there would be eulogies, and people would have the opportunity of saying amen in response to them. And then there was always the reading of the law. Usually some from Moses, the first five books of the Bible, but then also from the prophets. And if a person were qualified and recognized to be qualified to read and to give an interpretation, they were allowed to do so. And Jesus was famous at this time. The scripture says in verse 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went throughout all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So when Jesus goes into this synagogue, there's no question but that he is allowed to participate, and he is given the scroll by the attendant. In those days, there was an attendant who had many different responsibilities, basically taking care of the synagogue, possibly also the maintenance of it. And it was his responsibility to take the scroll, to give it to a teacher qualified to teach. And then there was often also an interpreter present who'd be able to take the Hebrew and translate it into Aramaic, which is the language that most of the people understood in those days. So we read these words, verse 17. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll, keep that phrase in mind, and found the place where it was written. And now let's just zero in for a moment on the mission that Jesus began to accomplish. Here it is. It's a quotation, of course, from the passage of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Jesus was bringing here good news, not of the gospel that he was crucified, dead, and buried, because that hadn't even happened yet. It was really the gospel of the kingdom. It was the establishment of a kingdom on earth where there would be righteousness and justice and an end to all oppression. So he brought some good news to the poor. He says, your fortunes are going to change under my direction and under my leadership. Now, what he had to say was important also for the rich, but the rich are not often interested in what Jesus has to say. Just yesterday, I was speaking to a man who said that someone in his particular business, who's his boss, has no interest in the gospel, or very little, because he is successful, he's young, he's in good health, everything is going well. He doesn't need God right now. So you can understand that oftentimes the poor were a part of Jesus Christ's ministry because they knew that they had needs and they were more open to what God was able to do in them and for them. So Jesus says, I'm bringing good news to the poor. Things are going to change for you. I'm bringing freedom for the prisoners. Proclaim liberty to the captives. That doesn't mean that all the jails are going to be emptied, because there are some people who are in jail who ought to be there, but it means that, spiritually speaking, there are those who bring upon themselves a captivity and a sense of confinement and oppression that is absolutely overwhelming. So Jesus says, I have some good news for you too. You're going to be delivered. No longer are you going to have this sense of alienation from God. You're a prisoner in your own mind and in your own heart because of what you've done and because of what you've believed or because of what others have done to you, and I'm here to deliver you. And then Jesus says to give sight to the blind. Yes, physically, he did that in a few instances in the New Testament, but also those who are spiritually blind, those who are groping, finding their way to God or desiring to and not knowing how to do it. I have hope for you, Jesus is saying. And then this remarkable statement, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What is that a reference to? It's a reference to the year of Jubilee. Jesus says, I'm here to proclaim something that will bring universal deliverance across the land. In the Old Testament, the year of Jubilee was celebrated only every 50 years. It came at the end of a cycle, seven cycles of 7 years. So you have 49 years, and then the 50th year was the year of Jubilee. That was the year when those who had sold their land, they were going through difficulty, they had to eat, they took their land and they sold it to someone, and perhaps they even became slaves to the person to whom they sold the land. And in order to make sure that that would not be perpetuated generation to generation, at the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, all of this was reversed and the land went back to its original owners and all slaves went free. This was a remarkable plan to kind of level the playing ground in Israel. You see, rather than some people owning a lot of land and the rich become richer and the poor become poorer, what God says is every 50 years it's going to be all leveled out and the poor are going to get land that maybe their father or their grandfather had sold. And that's why genealogies and family lines were so important, because you are going to be brought back and given what your family originally owned. So perpetual slavery and the possibility of no end to those who are rich exploiting the poor would always be held in check. That was the year of Jubilee. Did people look forward to the year of Jubilee? Well, it depends who you were. If you were rich and you had lots of land and you had slaves under your command, you disdained the year of Jubilee because you'd have to give it all up. But if you were poor and if you were a slave, you could hardly wait for the year to come. Jesus is saying here that to all these captives, to all of this oppression and this injustice, the day has come when I am able to put an end to this if you receive me as your Messiah and as your King. Now notice what happened. Jesus read up to verse 19 in the Gospel of Luke. It says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The reason that I read Isaiah chapter 61 first was this. Jesus stopped in the middle of a sentence. If you recall, in verse 3 of Isaiah 61, the text goes on to say, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. But Jesus says, I'm not here yet. I'm not here yet to proclaim vengeance. That's a future time. And so Jesus stops right in the middle of a sentence. He gives the scroll back to the attendant, who puts it in its place. And in those days in the synagogue, as I'm sure today, you stood to read the scripture, but you sat down to teach. At least that's the way it was then. You'll notice it says in verse 20, he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. Imagine Jesus reading a passage known to be messianic and saying, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled because I'm here." Now, of course, you say, well, did all of this happen? No, not all of this happened, because remember now, Jesus is not saying that I fulfilled all of this, but he is saying that I'm the one who is going to fulfill all of this, and it will be fulfilled in the coming kingdom. If you've been a part of this series, you know that I explained the song that we sing, "He Rules the World with Peace and Joy." That hasn't happened yet, but the day is going to come. And Jesus is presenting himself to the nation as the great liberator, as the one who is able to deliver them and bring about this kingdom. Now, of course, they rejected him, and so the kingdom is still future. But let's look at the text again. How did they respond to what Jesus had to say? What was their response? Did they say, "This is wonderful"? Well, they marveled at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. And by the way, when it says in verse 21, he began to say to them, that means that he probably went on a piece. It was probably a long speech that he gave, but we have only that phrase, the beginning of it. And then they said in verse 23, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What you have done in Capernaum, do in your hometown as well.'" You see, he had done some miracles in Capernaum, and now they were saying, "Well, if you did it there, why don't you do it in your hometown?" And Jesus gives a remarkable response. He says that a prophet is not accepted in his own country.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I do not want you to be disappointed in Jesus, even though sometimes we trust him for things that he does not choose to do. Because there are some promises that are made in the scripture which are not yet to be fulfilled, and I think that as Jesus was there in the synagogue reading this text from Isaiah, the people didn't realize that some of those promises are still future. But here's something that you can hang on to, and that is that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. And as I like to emphasize from time to time, it is important for all of us to know that at times we all live with unfulfilled promises. The people in Jesus' day had a great deal of trouble with that, just like some people have a great deal of difficulty with it today. But to be able to trust Jesus with the full knowledge that he will return and all of his promises are safe and true, that's the way we end our broadcast today.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of Christ the Deliverer, the last of four messages on Christ before Bethlehem, taken from the prophecies of Isaiah. Tomorrow, more about the drama when Jesus reads the scroll and proclaims its fulfillment. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. For those who give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win, we have a special thank you, a CD of Jesus versus Muhammad, Erwin Lutzer's message about the rise of Islam worldwide. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois 60611. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.